Got a request to add Vinny Eastwood to the call. So are you on the line with us now, Vinny?
Oh, yes, I am.
Hello, Vinny. How are you doing? Welcome to the roundtable.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, Vinny. I don't think we've met. I'm Pamela, and I am a host on three shows here. And David co-hosts them with me, two of the shows. And then Justin
Tynes. I listened to you guys
here
this morning.
Oh, he did? Well, thank you.
I was supposed to be on this morning with Hijacker, and then he called me like 5 minutes till the end of the show, and then I couldn't come on with him because I had to do my show, and then I had to do another show before that and after that as well. And then I was organized to come on this show like about a half an hour ago. But it's okay now because I decided that they can just get me on now. And what the heck is going on here? There's some kind of dark occulted mysticism I'm going on for sure.
Okay.
Well, as long as you roll with it, then you'll be all right.
As long as I have marijuana, I can roll with it.
Okay. Well, did you hear? We had two new stories today about marijuana. One in, what was it, Uruguay? It's now legal a certain amount, and Washington State. So I think people are getting the picture that we need to lessen the harshness about marijuana.
Well, look at it this way. In 10,000 years, nobody has died from marijuana, except people running away from the cops.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Good point. Very good point.
Yeah, or being put in prison for it and having bad things happen while they're there.
Yeah, well, you look at those two scenarios. Do get stoned, watch a movie, had a few laughs, got hungry, got thirsty, ate something, drank something, went to bed, had a nice sleep. Dude gets busted. He doesn't have a nice sleep. He gets fingerprinted. He gets all sorts of trauma. He gets abused in the cells and stuff like that. You know, like, I've been arrested. Many people have. The police treat you like you're dirt. Honestly.
Oh, right. Honestly.
Literally, like you're scum. They just assault you for no reason. They insult you for no reason. They violate your rights ad infinitum. They deny you access to a lawyer. They make up stuff in court. What does more harm? The
right.
Or the cops?
Yeah.
Your audio is going in and out, Vincent.
Am I somehow misinterpreting? Yeah. Am I somehow misinterpreting?
No.
Am I somehow misinterpreting that being tasered or bashed into the head with a baton or handcuffs that were so harsh that my wrists bleed is somehow better for my health than weed?
Well, no, I think you probably are using some logic there, and you do know that there were a lot of musicians back in the day that were very proud of the fact that they smoked a lot of weed. I mean, who was the guy that did all the reggae music that you like so much, honey?
Bob
Marley.
Bob Marley.
Bob Marley.
Yep.
Bob Marley.
Hey, and, David. Tennis. Yes, we've already established this. And also, we came up with this joke about a tennis match between these two stoner tennis players. What was it? It was Pete Ganges against some other dude or whatever. And guess what the score was? One love.
we're having a little bit of issue with the bandwidth right now with your call. I noticed that you've got video turned on your call. It looks like you just turned it off, so maybe that'll help a little bit.
It might do.
Takes a little bit more to send a video and the audio versus just the audio itself, but we do appreciate you doing that. It's a very interesting thing. I guess what it was, Colorado and, what was it, Washington that decided that they were going to legalize, the use of marijuana within, certain restrictions.
Yeah, I think it boiled down to only, to 20,
20 cigarettes a month.
A month. Yeah, and if you're taking it for medicine, you know, to help you with pain, you've got to have at least one a day. So they'll have to adjust that, but at least it's a good start. Listen, Vinny. Well,
in New Zealand, we've only got 4 million people, and the police estimate conservatively that the law about cannabis prohibition is violated minimum 200,000 times an hour.
An hour?
Every time somebody passes a joint to you, that's a crime. Every time you take a joint, every time you take a toke of that joint, that's a crime. Every time you sell some weed to somebody, that's a crime. Every time you grow some weed, that's a crime. Every time you prepare weed for sale, that's a crime. So they stack one on top of each other. So, you know, a police officer could sit there and observe you for 5 minutes in normal cannabis-related activity and charge you with, like, 8 crimes.
Wow.
Wow.
And when I was busted, I what did I do? I was treated worse for manslaughter. They caught me with 13 grams, and I was going to go away for, like, up to 8 years.
Oh, my gosh.
So, hate to interrupt you here, but did you have an idea, if you were king for a day, what you would do to change the world or to change anything? What change would you make?
I would give myself a really, really massive I was going to put a sexual reference in there, but let's think about something different. Media empire.
Okay, so you would have a media empire for yourself, and you would use that.
No.
Okay.
A decentralized media empire where all the activists and all the people that never frickin' get a chance to talk on air or have any experience in real radio studios or real news studios or anything like that could just willy-nilly walk off the street, just say, hey, I've got this kind of I've got this story and blah, 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 and we go, okay, well, bugger it. Here you go. Here's how to use the camera. Here's how to use the boards and everything. Go for your frickin' life, you know?
Cool.
Wow. Yeah. That's interesting. Get the word out. They could say whatever they wanted and have a global platform in which to do that with.
Yeah, and somebody else provides all the funding so that you don't have to. And activists don't expect to get paid. So all you do is you just give them access to the airwaves, access to the TV channels, access to the studios, access to their own editing suites or whatever. They can just use the equipment. They don't have to take it home or anything. And they just come in and learn how to make their documentaries, learn how to be a radio show host, learn how to be a newscaster, and all of this kind of stuff. Because ultimately, this is my opinion, is that activists are the reporters. Journalists, that they've failed in their duties. Now the only people that are actually reliable in terms of credible information tend to be the people that are waving signs saying it's the end of the world.
Yeah, it's definitely the alternatives now that are getting the word out. The legitimate, quote-unquote, journalists are not journalists anymore. They're simply readers. Whatever comes off, you know, whatever comes out of the AP or the machine that they've got printing the news, that's the journalist. It isn't the person. The person doesn't research anything anymore. They simply read what they're told to read.
And it's already got the spin on it that they want it to have.
Absolutely. Well, because they're all owned by the same people, the same group.
That's correct.
Yeah, well, that's very interesting. Very interesting. Good idea.
The ultimate thing is I would never want to be a part of an organization that tells other people what they can report on, what they should and should not cover. I would rather be part of an organization that says, if you are going to report on this, check it. Make sure it's credible. Otherwise, you risk your reputation. You don't risk mine. This network's open to everybody, and everybody messes up. Even mainstream news journalists have to print retractions and stuff like that. But the thing is, we put you in the control seat. Oh, can you edit this video up for me? No, I can't. But I can show you how to do it, so you can spend the frickin' 160 hours on your ass burning through 70,000 packets of cigarettes and 18 cases of beer in order to put a documentary together in the editing suite. All right, you can do that. You can find your own stuff. Right. In terms of the real expensive gear, hey, it doesn't even exist anymore. I've got a computer right in front of me, right? And it's like $4,000 quad core max, 27-inch screen with a built-in HD camera, built-in microphone. $4,000? That is your editing studio for your audio recordings, including GarageBand. That is your recording software to record every single audio stream of every radio show that I've been on, and I've been on like 100 radio shows, so other people's shows by now. all your editing in iMovie 11. I get like an hour and a half's video in terms of the editing after each radio show done in about 20 minutes.
Wow. That's wonderful.
All right, not including import time, not including export time. That's just the actual editing. Drag, drop, drag, drop, drag, drop. Put the titles on it. Put the music intros or whatever the heck on it. Do a little bit of minute editing, and then just boom, it's on the publish. Takes about 45 minutes for an hour and a half video to publish, and then you upload it, and you do it every day. So it comes out to the end of the day when, in terms of audio archives, I'm doing 2 hours a day, and in terms of video archives, 2 hours a day, and it all gets uploaded. So who do you know can produce 4 hours of audio and video content within 3.5 hours a day?
Oh, that's great.
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
Every day, minimum?
Good for you.
Yeah. So, see, this is the power that the device gives me.
Right.
Give the power to other people.
Yeah.
Give them a little bit of mentorship. You know, because I didn't start off at this level. Mm-hmm. I had to learn a hell of a lot in the street on my own, spending countless hours up till 4 or 5 in the morning editing activist speech and that kind of stuff before I even got anywhere near the level where I'm at. And it's just like, so I wouldn't have been able to do it if I wasn't just lumped with $11,900 worth of shopping vouchers from my old work, which allowed me to quit that job and purchase the equipment and go out and start being a media exposing scumbaggery magician.
Wonderful. Wow, that's great. Well, you know, I didn't even have Skype until I got my show here on Revolution Radio. I didn't even know how to run Skype yet.
It just wasn't something that we had a use for, so we never did get into it. And then whenever we found out about Revolution Radio and the opportunity there, we downloaded it and kind of got familiar with it and so on and so forth. But, yeah, it's great technology. It's not without its limitations, but, you know, it's something that's better than nothing.
Well, a lot of people blame Skype for their technical difficulties. And the reality is it's actually usually 99% of the time you messing up or your modem being too far from the local exchange so that your signal's not really strong enough, things like that, or you'll have other web browsers open on your computer simultaneously, or you'll have different editing programs or whatever that normally suck a lot of juice out of your computer. All of those things come into it, your computer speed and also your internet speed. So usually when I'm doing shows and what have you, I will have as few windows open on my browser as possible, and if there's any difficulties, you know, close everything down to save it all. Now, there's a number of things that Skype can do, and I'm the master with Skype. All right, like as in He-Man, masters of the mother fracking universe type master of Skype. All right, dig this. I could start broadcasting right now the desktop of my computer, so you'd be able to see absolutely everything that I'm working on, and I could tutor you how to use editing programs or anything. I could be doing and I can record that as well. So there's been times when I've recorded Stan Deo, who's got all bunch of research with gravity wells and hollow earth theory and a number of other things, which he's got these digital programs that do displays and what have you. So I was recording his desktop on his computer, and you can see even his little hard drive things, you know, that you've got on your desktop that say Jedi and Yoda and stuff like that. He's a big Star Wars fan. I didn't know that until I saw him. But yeah, you can do all that, as well as you can share files up to 2 gigabytes. Did you know you could drag a big video file right into the chat box that we've got underneath the call right now, and you can send me a file up to 2 gigabytes, file transfer?
Yes, I did know that. I've got a friend that sends them daily,
And the file transfer will naturally keep itself going very, very, very slowly while there is a call going. So if you've got a call going or you've got video going, it'll go at like, I don't know, 0.5K a second or something right. like that. But as soon as you hang up the call, it starts to use full power and just drive itself up to get it done very, very quickly. So simultaneously, you've got the ability to tutor people remotely. You've got the ability to present yourself in a video format remotely. You've got the ability to do a radio studio remotely. And all of these other things, as well as you don't have to wait around for somebody to send you a DVD or a flash drive via post or anything like that. If they want to send you a large file, pop it into the Skype chat, you've got it. It, but basically, with a Mac and with Skype, you are a media empire if you want to use it that way. I am. And in 2 years of radio, now people are comparing me with, like, David Icke and Alex Jones and stuff like that. I'm like, what? I don't know why people kind of like to compare the people they admire and what have you. I think it's actually better to contrast them. I like Vinny as opposed to David Icke because of such. But, you know, the comparison's very nice. But yeah. Ultimately, it's the distinction that counts.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it's like comparing apples and oranges. You can't exactly lump them both into the same basket. So.
Well, that's why I always say that competition is insane, because there's no way that you and I can do the same thing exactly the same. So we each bring our own individuality to whatever we do. So there is no competition. People think there is, but it isn't in reality. There is no competition, because we're all unique.
Yeah, yeah. So like, it's not like you're comparing two pair of shoes or something and their only function is to stay on the bottom of your feet and give you protection from the ground. I mean, we're talking about fully functioning human beings, with each of them with their own individual message.
Right, right. That's good. But it is nice to be complimented in that way. I certainly do understand that. That's wonderful to be complimented by your peers.
What was scary is those compliments started coming in within the first, like, couple of months of doing the radio show.
Wow.
Like, yeah, so you were getting
attention right off the bat.
Well, and I put it down to this. I've got a very sexy accent. You see what I'm saying? You know?
I didn't think you knew you had an accent. If it's your way of talking, I didn't know that you knew you had one. Well, I thought we know that.
I could talk to you in tones that would be perhaps a little bit more familiar.
Okay.
Like West Coast?
Okay, yeah.
Sweetheart, have I ever told you how sexy your American accent is?
No, you haven't. But
it's wonderful. I love it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm glad you like it, David. Cool. I know if I go down to Atlanta, Georgia to visit, again, if I can be there 3 days, I'll start talking like a Georgia peach. It's just almost automatic. And when I went to Haiti and lived for a year, it only took me 6 weeks to learn Creole, because I went to the market every day by myself for that purpose, you know, to talk and to
learn the language.
Words. Yep, and I did. So I think that there's something in us that allows us to learn languages easier sometimes. But I can certainly pick
apparently,
up different accents.
Well, apparently the easiest way to learn a foreign language is pillow talk.
Ah, okay. Makes sense.
You know, have a relationship with somebody of the opposite sex who doesn't quite speak your language and you don't quite speak theirs, and before you know it, you'll be speaking it fluently.
Oh, yeah.
Makes sense.
And doing other things fluently.
Absolutely. the non-verbal languages.
I thought that was the point where you were supposed to tell the other person not to talk.
Yeah.
Well, when they're crying out in foreign languages, there's something in it. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your take, Vinny, on the idea that it seems like they want to separate us all? They want to get a device in everybody's hand and a computer in every room and a television in every room and have every family member separated into different quadrants of the house, et cetera, et cetera. What's your take on that, other than just we want to sell you some more stuff?
Well, I think that benefits truthers really well, actually, to be, you know, trapped away in your room, you know, rolling inconspicuously as enormous joints so that you can watch the latest Alex Jones documentary in full HD and get all goggle-eyed and fetal positioned. But the other compromising effect of separation is that you've got no support network. Okay, it just disappears. If you're feeling sick, or you're feeling upset or depressed, and you're not in constant contact with somebody else who really, really loves you and cares about you and whatever, it's going to be that much harder to get over being sick by yourself or depressed by yourself, kind of thing. And it makes people a lot less attentive to each other and more attentive to themselves, which I believe is a very good thing to do. On occasions, especially if you're acting like some form of douchebag. But if you're only caring about yourself, then there is no substance to you. Because I believe that the substance of our character is often dictated and formed via our actions to others. You've ever heard that saying, how you do anything is how you do everything?
Yeah.
My producer says that a lot. How you do anything is how you do everything. So if you're on a date with somebody and they're really rude to the waiter, you can be guaranteed they're going to be bad to you.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. We had a discussion about that today. I always say that you can't give something you don't have. So if you're not being kind to yourself, it's not going to be easy for you to be kind to other people. You've got to have it to give it. And if you can be kind to other people in a genuine way, they will help you. Whatever it is that you need from that person, you'll get it. Excuse me, I've got gone hoarse.
See, that's been happening to me recently, and getting a bit hoarse in the throat. And for some reason, I say derivatives. Derivatives.
Clears it all out of there, doesn't it?
No. There's something about the Alex Jones Texan bullfrog voice that clears scum out. All right, even whether or not it's just in your throat or whatever, it's your derivatives, you know?
Yeah.
Really? Wow. Yeah. I'll have to try that off the air. that's
you don't
cool.
want to practice that in front of an audience?
No, I don't want to. Thank you, though. No, I've really done a lot of talking today, and you know, it could be that. It could be that it's just hot in here. David's got a fireplace going, and it, you know, you can't turn it down like you do a heater, but it does save so much money, and it is, you know, much more ambient to have a fireplace, but it's just really warm in here. And I can't open the windows because there's trucks that go up and down at night getting cattle.
Well, the problem is that the temperature fluctuates so much from night until midday. That you might drop down to, you know, 37 degrees at night, and then all of a sudden it's 70 in the middle of the afternoon, and you've already built a fire so that everything doesn't freeze up, and now it's 82 in the house.
I know. That's what this time of year is about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the fluctuation, and it's kind of the pendulum of going back and forth from summer to winter.
It sounds like it must really flux with your life.
Oh, it does. It does. And that fits with what's going on now, you know, with us moving to a new way to measure time and to deal with time and the new timelines and all of that. Everything is in flux right now. Everything is like a pendulum swing.
Looks like we're going to a commercial, or not commercial, going to a break. Oh. If you'll hang with us, we'll be right back on the other end of it.
Okay.
For fuck's sake.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio. We'll be right back after this short break, so stay tuned. All right. Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Welcome back to the roundtable. Pamela and David Tartar are co-hosting, and we've been joined by Vinny Eastwood. So happy to have you here, Vinny.
Hey, I was going to wonder, do you guys make sauce? Like tartar sauce?
we make the best tartar sauce that you could ever imagine.
I hope you put drizzle it all over your Gulf seafood.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just love it.
We don't eat golf seafood.
Tartar sauce is like the correct sit for your seafood.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, you can say it. You can say it tartar or tartar, however you like.
Yeah. Or in Pensacola, they call it tarball.
Really?
Really?
No, because they got tarballs on the beach, man.
Oh, yeah.
I gotcha.
Tarballs. Yeah, that's funny. You are a funny guy, Benny.
I know.
What are you working on right now? Are you mostly talking about the politics, or what are you talking about?
Yeah, what's your gig, man?
Oh, God. I'm so sick of the elections. You wouldn't believe.
I know.
Every election does this to me. Well, I think it does it to everybody who knows that every word that comes out of their mouth is not just one lie, but like eight lies packaged together. So right. It's eight times as angering as anybody who's just telling you one lie. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And what's even worse is that people believe it. And you see people believing it in masses, and it's like projected over the media and all of that kind of stuff. And it's like, how can people be so stupid? And then you look at the aspartame, and you look at the fluoride, and you look at the education system, and you look at the lack of personal responsibility. You look at all the government intervention, all the Planned Parenthood, and all the brainwashing and mind control and the mainstream media apparatus. And then it suddenly makes a whole hell of a lot of sense that they can only get 18% of people out to vote. I thought I heard that somewhere, that only 18% of people voted in this election, but I can't be sure of it. But,
oh, I'm not a bit surprised. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if that were true, Benny. I really wouldn't be.
Well, dig this. There's a whole bunch of people out there who think the Illuminati are right because people are so stupid, we might as well annihilate 90% of them. Yeah. But in reality, there's only about maybe 9% of people who voted for Obama. You know, don't kill the 90%, kill the 10%. But don't kill. I mean, if you're going to kill anybody at all, but don't kill anybody, man. I mean, and again, that's just oh man. It's so evil. And it's the thing, people are morally rudderless, and that other people's lives are their tokens to play with, like they're at a poker table.
Well, look at it like this. I mean, if you know that everything is just a game, and they're just asking you to participate in it so that you feel as if you're actually making a difference, then aren't the people who are actually going out and participating in that game kind of they're just lying to themselves? That's my opinion.
But we were those people. We woke up.
Right. I understand that, too. But at the same time, if the numbers are dropping as far as voting is concerned, I don't necessarily see that as a bad thing.
I think it's a great thing.
Well, here's the thing. What do people who don't vote stop from happening? Nothing.
Well, but
no,
you,
yes, we do. What did they stop?
What did they stop? Because
I'll tell you what they stopped. They stopped playing the program in their head that has to do with saying you make a difference when you go and do this voting, because you don't. And they proved it to us this time more clearly than any other time. They announced who was president before, what was there, three states that hadn't even put their
submitted their results. Yeah.
There is something that's being accomplished, and it's people so are let me get stopping this straight. The game.
So let me get this straight. A whole people went out or didn't go out and vote, and still a president got elected. So what exactly did they stop again?
They stopped the program that is running inside of them by the powers that be.
No, they didn't. No, they didn't. They're actually fulfilling the program of apathy. Because somebody who does nothing is just as useful as a useful idiot.
They didn't do nothing, Vinny. They did something. They were non-compliant. That is an action that does not
non-compliance. Non-compliance is when you refuse to do an action. And of course, it does work in that kind of thing in non-compliance. But however, non-compliance also prevents other actions. For example, if you take a look at non-compliance in India, their non-compliance was mass crowd demonstrations. They were breaking the salt monopoly that the British had on them, that was incredibly expensive. You kind of need salt to survive and what have you. And they managed to break the salt monopoly by simply not paying them and going out and getting their own salt. Whereas in the American situation, all you're doing is simply not participating, but you're not going out and getting a replacement. Here's the thing. You can't just stop participating in something and not have something to replace it. If you, on the other hand, stop participating in the mainstream electoral process and instead involve yourself in, say, the third-party debates, and imagine if you had it would only take maybe 11% of the U.S. population to choose to vote for a third party candidate before they would destroy the entire system, which prevents any third party debate.
I don't believe that it would destroy anything because of the sheer fact that whether you go and vote or not, they're going to choose who it is that they want in because they've already bought out all of the candidates.
Well, that's right, because that assumes that the votes are actually being counted.
What about the vote of no confidence?
They are.
It doesn't matter what you vote. It doesn't matter if you vote for your dog or a person that they put up there. They're going to put in the person that they have already decided is going to be the man. And it really doesn't matter. So if you're not going and playing their game and you put your – and we hadn't even addressed the fact that you take that energy and you invest it somewhere else. If you put it into something that's non – has no reaction whatsoever, that's insanity to continually to do something that doesn't provide you with any different result. So,
I mean, are you saying that have a look at all these lines. You know how many lines I've ever stood in to vote at a New Zealand election?
Have no idea.
None.
Okay.
You know how many people in the entire New Zealand have ever had to stand in a line for poorly located, extremely inefficient vote counters and all of that kind of stuff? Nobody. Ever. You have a look at the US footage, and you've got people that have to wait in line for 4 hours to vote, and people are surprised there's a low voter turnout. Who the frack wants to stand in line for 4+ hours to elect somebody that's pre-decided anyway?
Right. So explain to us again why it's a good idea to participate in that.
I'm not saying participate. I'm saying don't participate, but participate in something else, something that makes it obsolete. Instead of spending 4 hours waiting in line to go participate in a false process, why don't you spend 4 hours standing on a street corner with a bunch of signs saying, "End the Fed, stop the wars"? Why don't you spend 4 hours on calling into every single talk radio station in your local area? There's lists of them online, and calling in every single one of them and saying this entire election is an entire fraud. Okay, why don't you do that? There's the thing, doing nothing. Okay, people put more energy into drinking beer and tequila on the night of the election than they did into voting.
And you know, you just brought up an excellent point, and that is I hear all the time guests on talk shows coming on and making the statement that the host is doing nothing to change anything having to do with the way that this world works. And I disagree with that wholeheartedly, because any individual cannot do anything to change an issue if they're not aware of that there is even an issue to begin with. And so until we have awakened everybody, or until everybody is awake, I should say, or a good majority of us are awake, nothing is going to happen in any different manner because of the fact that you just can't address something that you don't know exists.
Well, a majority has never been needed to pull off any revolution. I mean, you take the War of Revolution for the United States, 3%. 3% of people. And you take the Revolutionary War of Chairman Mao against the Chinese people, 1%.
Right, but at the same time, there are strength in numbers.
No, there is strength in numbers, but just because you've got the numbers ain't going to mean you're going to win the war. Take a look at the Vietnamese.
Yeah.
All right? You know, you had all this firepower, all these soldiers in there, but guerrilla warfare means you need 10 times as many as your enemy in order to get them. Guerrilla warfare is the way of the future, I think, in a media context, I mean. Guerrilla media warfare. That's what my website is, guerrillamedia.co.nz. And the idea is you just go out there and you get all these little warriors who are stabbing these people. Let me explain this. It's called the tactic of the cactus. You know how cactus protects itself by covering itself in every direction with spines so that anything it touches it will get a little prick?
Right.
Well, in every single town, in every single conspiracy, there are people who are willing to talk about it and have probably been talking about it and exposing it for years. You find those people, you give them some media coverage, and voila, you have virtually an impenetrable media blanket globally with nobody even needing to exchange any money because they've already been bleeding and fighting and sweating these issues for decades, a lot of them, and they're all too happy to give more of their time for free to share information with other people. The trafficking of information, I believe, will in the future be more highly profitable than the trafficking of drugs.
Oh, I hope that's true. That would be wonderful. That would be amazing.
I know. It'd be great if the drugs were that cheap, eh?
Oh, my goodness. Well, that sounds like you've got a real good slant on what you think needs to be done, Benny.
Well, and the thing is, I didn't ask anybody's permission to go out and do what I'm doing. I'm just going out and doing it. I didn't ask to be part of any schools, training programs, assistants, interns, or any other form of thing that would imply me being subservient to somebody else and do things their way.
Right.
You're not playing somebody else's ball game.
Well, and none of us should. And that's the real problem in society, is that we're all playing somebody else's game, and we don't realize at the end of the day we're the one getting played.
That's correct, because you pay for it, and then you pay for it again with your energy, and then you pay for it again with your life, because you're always working for somebody else and to make them rich and to actually hurt yourself and probably a lot of other people the way the system is set up.
Middle-aged peasants ate the exact same food that the middle-aged lords did. They worked 3 days a week, 4 hours a day.
Wow.
Who's got a better lifestyle?
Yeah.
A frickin' peasant living in filth in a hut had more free time and better food than we got.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, I had heard that somewhere before. I may have heard Vinny say it on his show at one point.
So I was just thinking about this. Okay. Well, we're even more in the serfdom manifesto nowadays than we ever were. And I was just thinking, how the hell do you overthrow a lord who ain't actually the lord of the manor? How do you overthrow somebody who hasn't even imposed rules on you? We've all imposed all these rules and everything on ourselves by going along with it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's correct.
You're right. I always say we don't even need jailers. We're our own jailers.
Yeah, well, sometimes we need jailers for people like Cheney and what have you. But the interesting element of humanity I found is that when the chips are down, when all hope seems lost, that's when the human creativity gets fired into action. That's when the body and the mind and the soul react to protect itself, much like an immune system. And globally, the truth movement, what it loosely call it, the truth movement, people who want to seek truth, seek facts from fiction, and will follow the truth wherever it leads, chips fall where they may. That's the truth movement for me, although it doesn't exist in that form, not yet anyway, and I don't think it ever will. That's called utopia, and it does not exist. But what we're doing globally, individually, without any communication with these other people on other ends of the earth, and in many cases, we're all exposing and devouring and beating back these parasitical viral organisms that I call the agents of scumbaggery.
Yeah, you're right.
Right.
Yep.
And it's very important, in my opinion, to for everybody to get out and what little truth you have been able to acquire yourself, you know, spread that around as much as you can, and at least at the very minimum, continue to pay attention and, you know, open your eyes. Look at the next layer down or the next level down. What else is being done somewhere else that we weren't able to you know, see from the first layer. These people are extremely, extremely intelligent, and they work really hard to make things complex, and they work very hard to create extremely, and I think you said earlier, you know, 8 lies in 1 lie, and that makes it, for some reason, easier for people to buy.
Well, Hitler once said that if you're going to tell a lie, tell a really, really big one, because then people will really want to believe it. And in our world, I've got so many friends and colleagues in the movement all over the place, and people are always wondering why they can't get together. Well, I've got to tell you something. All these people talk to me. They tell me what they talk about other people behind each other's backs with. This entire movement, all the people in it, freaking hate each other. Like, it's behind the scenes, eh? Like, seriously, all that ego, all that machismo, all that offensive, narcissistic personality disorder, all that business acumen, and all of these relics from the old world follow you from your mainstream careers into this one, like a dark shadow that you can never shake.
Right, right.
And it's really sad because a lot of people come into this movement thinking that it's all going to be different, that everybody's going to be 100% honest, nobody's going to be a douchebag, nobody's going to steal anything off you or anything like that. I remember when engaged in cannabis activism on the street, I gave my iPod to a person on the side of the street to watch a video I made about it, you know, the headphones and the iPod and stuff like that, and then they just walked away with it.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, and I'd only had it a week.
Oh, man.
It was like a 160-gig iPod, just gone. And you realize, even if you're doing the right thing, the wrong thing will still be done to you. Even though you're in a movement that is predicated upon doing the right thing, the wrong people will still join it.
That's true.
Sorry to interrupt you, but I would like to remind everybody that they are listening to freedomslips.com, Revolution Radio. This is worldwide listener-supported radio. If you could support us, we would really appreciate that by going to the listener support button and help us out a little bit. If you'd like to call in and join our round table, the phone number is 347-688-2902, or you can Skype in at Freedom Screen or tonight, Harmonic Mint. That is my Skype handle. So give us a call. Let us know what you would like to change in this world if you had the opportunity to do so. And we would really like to hear from you.
Mm-mm-mm. If you were the monarchy for a day. Now, here's another thing. I've got these Mon jokes. You know how Jamaicans, they call each other Mon?
Yes.
You know what they say in Mon?
Yes,
Mon. So what do you call a Jamaican-themed tanning salon?
I don't know.
You call it Montana.
Oh, that's cute.
What do you call a Jamaican genetic engineering company?
What's that?
Monsanto.
Oh, no.
That's true. That's very true. Frankenberries.
And what do you call a Jamaican system of government?
Don't know.
A monarchy.
Oh, my. Those are good. Those are good.
And what do you call a pair of Jamaican sunglasses?
We don't know.
A monocle. A monocle. Yeah.
There you go. There you go.
I, that was the only one I really knew. Monarch and monocle.
I have Israeli jokes as well.
Do you? They're well, let's hear some Israeli jokes.
All right. Are you familiar of the people that lead the Palestinians, what they're called?
No.
The group of them, they call Hamas.
Hamas, yeah.
Yeah, you've heard of Hamas. Okay, so, and you know what chickpeas are, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
All right. So do you know why Israelis are suspicious of chickpeas? I
have no idea.
Because they could be turned into Hamas.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Very good, Vinny, very good.
Which is incidentally why you don't take Israelis out for Turkish kebabs. Because they'll shoot at the Hamas.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
And the third one is, what do Israeli tank crews say if they see a group of Palestinian children? Oh, wait, hold on a second. Before I do this, do you know how to say hello in Hebrew?
No.
You say shalom?
Oh, yes, shalom.
Huh? Shalom, yeah.
Yeah.
So, what do Israeli tank crews say if they see a group of Palestinian children? Shalom!
Oh, Sheldon. That's terrible.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't even get that. I was thinking, why were they saying peace to them? Because it really means peace. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Cool. Did you make those up yourself?
I did. I am a joke producing machine. There's even a jokes page on my website there under humor, and I come up with pictures as well, funny pictures of Obama and things. Like, I've got Obama and Romney, and they're two weevils, like, you know, like six-legged kind of thorax-y type creatures with the little feelers coming out of their heads, and they're both standing there on opposite side of the stage. With a teleprompter that says "pick me," and then you go across to Obama, and his teleprompter says "pick me," and on behind them there's the U.S. Constitution. Instead of saying "we the people," it says "me the weevil," and
oh my gosh,
and it says "elections." It's like picking the lesser of two weevils.
Oh my, that is cool. That is so cool. I bet that's cute. I'll have to go see that. Do you want to give your website out, Vinny?
If you just Google Vinny Eastwood, Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question, allegedly, you'll be able to find Eastwood like Clint Eastwood and Vinny with a Y. I also go by Mr. News. All right, like, hello, I'm Mr. News. Have you ever missed a news before? Are you telling me you've never missed a news? All right, that kind of,
you like to play with words, don't you?
I do. Words are my Play-Doh.
There you go.
I eat them too.
You're a wordsmith.
Yeah, a wordsmith with some kind of a communistic hammer and sickle that I beat the talent out of them with. I had this other concept as well. There's do you know what a phalanx is? You ever heard of a Greek military history that or seen the movie 300 where they got all the guys with shields kind of thing in formation?
No, I haven't seen it.
Okay, well, have you ever seen Romans?
And
how they had those big tower shields?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, phalanx is a little similar to that, but also different. You know how they're all marching in a line or whatever? It doesn't matter how you throw your sword at a line of shields. All you're going to hit is a shield. You ain't going to take any soldiers out, right? So the Romans took over Europe pretty quickly, barely losing a man. And in fact, most of the time they lost men, it was actually in travels. That's why they built all the roads. Yeah, to make traveling a lot easier, to move ground forces, that kind of thing, to maintain the empire. And this is incidentally why we have highways and superhighways and all of that kind of stuff now, so that if any case of domestic unrest, you'll be able to send troops to that spot lickety split without having to go cross country or nothing.
Right.
And the phalanx, this is how it works. You have a shield, and the shield's large enough so that it'll cover a man from thigh to neck, okay? From the thigh, that's where the femoral artery is, the neck, the trachea, and all of your vital organs are contained within, behind the shield, right? So it's a protective layer for any deadly, fatal blows. And however, the point of holding that shield is not to protect yourself with it. It's actually to protect the man to your left, and the man to your right protects you, so on and so forth. So you never have to watch your back or protect yourself. You're always protecting the man next to you, because ultimately he's really all you've got, because if a single weak point appears within the phalanx, it shatters. And
right.
you get scattered and you get annihilated, okay? That is mm-hmm. the source of the strength. And I've thought about this in a media context.
Yeah.
If you talk about the shield and how it's preventing you from deadly blows, why don't we have a media phalanx so that fellow radio show hosts, media activists and all of that kind of stuff, if they were ever in deep trouble, like they were being hacked or somebody was trying to kill them or anything of that nature, we can all pitch in and do something, you know, bring them on your radio show, post a blog on our websites at least, share it on Facebook or Twitter or do a YouTube clip about it or something of that nature to hype up public attention of this particular person to make the heat die off of them, okay? Just protecting the man to your left.
Right.
That's all right?
Brilliant.
So if we were capable of doing that, none of us would ever get struck a fatal blow, because I've seen so many activists come and go because they don't ask for help. and there's nobody there beside them protecting them.
Right.
That's true.
Right. You're right.
Everybody kind of goes out as a lone wolf and then ends up disappearing somehow.
They go out as a lone wolf and they wind up getting devoured by the pack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. That's a really nice story. That's a nice analogy of what we should do too.
Been hearing a lot about people experiencing black helicopters lately. Have you ever had that experience?
No. We get plenty of chemtrail planes around here though.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's probably worldwide.
Oh my God. Dude.
Yeah.
I will show you soon. Let me see if I can find the picture here. There was a rainbow around the sun.
Really?
Okay.
Really? When?
I'm just transferring this file to you across Skype with the file share now.
Okay.
Download it and crack that open. That was about 3 or 4 days ago. It's only like 700 kilobytes or something. It should transfer kind of instantly.
Yeah, it did.
But we've got this sort of haze in the air, you can see, and the sun, the rays of the sun are actually producing a rainbow effect of the clouds in a perfect 360-degree circle around the sun. Have you ever seen anything like that?
Well, no, we haven't. Now, we've seen four double rainbows at one time, which was pretty amazing on a special vacation we went on, but I've never seen one around the sun.
I know, and it leads me to believe that there was it's difficult to really spot chemtrails unless they're being laid that day or unless there's lots of them done in a grid pattern kind of thing. They're not quite so obvious because they spread out, they milky up the sky, and it's kind of difficult to see them unless you've seen them being sprayed in the first place, which way they're going to go and how they're going to turn out.
Yeah.
And so I'd been looking up at the sky that day a fair amount, and I saw so many suspicious-looking things that I thought, is that a chemtrail? I can't be sure. But the sky got all milky with particulates, and my working theory is that the sun rays come down in an arc when you're looking at it. And we saw this with the naked eye. This was no enhancement, no nothing, the picture I'm sending you.
Yeah.
I figured that the amount of metal particulates in the air might have actually been perhaps distorting or refracting the sunlight in a way, like how you would bounce a beam of sun off of a crystal, like in Pollyanna kind of thing, and the rainbows dance around the walls, sort of like that.
Right, the picture that he sent me looks like you've got the sun in the middle of the frame, and then there's a circle, and you can see the different colors of that circle, kind of like a rainbow. And then outside of that circle, it's like a cloudy haze, almost like looks like kind of like eyelashes to me outside of that ring, but they're white. You can tell that they're kind of cloudy, and then there's clouds between us and the sun, of course. But that's the image that he sent. It's very, very interesting. I've never seen anything like that.
It's really eerie, isn't it?
Yeah, Pamela can't see it right now because she's having some vision issues, but that's
why
I described
it. We'll save it so I can see it later.
Yep, I've got it on my desktop.
Good, good. Thank you. That'll be great.
Now, the best one of it we took with a tree in the foreground covering the shade, covering the lens.
Okay.
And it gives a much clearer picture, and it looks very, very beautiful, the picture, if it wasn't so freaking scary. Like, what the frack is that?
Wow.
You know, like, it's like that moment in Jaws when you think you're going to need a bigger boat.
Yep, I'm downloading it now here.
Yeah.
This one must be a little bit larger.
It's a fraction larger, but the principle kind of is very freaking scary because a lot of us don't know. Like, I don't know what the hell that is on that picture, and it wasn't something that was just coming across through a lens. That's not lens distortion. We saw that exact thing with our naked eyes. So mm-hmm. it can't it eliminates any kind of distortion and records in terms of recording devices or any, right. anything like that. So it had to be something environmental in order for us to actually see it.
That's great.
And if it is environmental, why haven't we seen it before? What's changed?
Right.
And the first thing that comes to mind is chemtrails. I don't know any other phenomenon that produces that type of effect of rainbows through the clouds other than HAARP, but it's not some kind of electromagnetic distortion that we're looking at. It's the reflection of the sun rays off of the clouds. Clouds right. don't right. reflect sun rays. They block it.
Right, and the interesting right. part to me is with this slightly different angle on it, you can tell that the inside of this circle, inside of this rainbow, is more clear than what is outside of the rainbow. That's the part that's really interesting to me. It's like there's a perfect circle, and it's pretty much clear if you compare it to what's outside of the rainbow, which looks like these eyelashes that go so far out that they're outside of the frame of the picture.
Circle rainbow, what does it mean? Oh, God, so beautiful.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, wow. Oh God. In fact, I'm going to get myself a T-shirt. I'm a circle rainbow man now.
Oh, yeah.
It's the apocalypse.
Yeah.
You might be the first circle rainbow man ever.
Shoot me, Freddy. I've got to, like, do a green screen or something like that and insert myself into that, just kind of like, fake looking up at it going, oh my God, it's a circle rainbow, what does it mean? maybe I'll drop a couple of acid tabs just to make it authentic.
Yeah, you could post that picture on the shirt itself, so that'd be great.
Yeah, it'd be freaking funny, wouldn't it? But ultimately, this is what I'm really good at, which I don't, there really aren't too many radio show hosts who can do what I do in terms of constantly crack people up kind of on call. David and Pam, I listened to your show today, and you know, the way you read out the news, very, very amusing. But I was by no means rolling on the floor, but
right.
there's if you listen to some of my stuff is just like, I crack me up too.
Yeah.
Like, when I re-listen to my show, I'm rolling on the floor at laughing at myself.
Wow.
That's cool.
We'll have to check your show out then. I've actually never heard your show, so.
I have.
Why don't you let us know when we can hear you?
5 till 7 o'clock Central Standard Time, which is 6 till 8 Eastern, which is 4 till 6 Mountain and 3 till 5 Pacific, which is also midday till 2 p.m. Hawaii time. It's also, incidentally, like 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time, which is in the UK, midnight till 2 a.m. in Europe, and midday till 2 p.m. in little old-fashioned New Zealand as well. So
all right.
It's a very international show, and I had like people tuning in from like 10 countries within 5 minutes at one point today during the broadcast. So that was very interesting.
Great.
It's the thing about speaking English. You've suddenly got a access to an international audience thanks to the British Empire.
Right. That's true. That's very true.
You gotta love those lizard bitches.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Well, you know, over here on Revolution Radio, we have people all hours of the day and night from around the world. You know, from Australia and England, and I mean, I can think of names of people that are here listening. You ought to consider coming to be with us in Revolution Radio.
Oh, well, I've got a really good gig at American Freedom Radio. A really good. Oh, mate. 2 hours a day. The professionalism of it, the size of the network, the automatic archiving that's done for me, the professional board op producer that's on station, on cue, the backup phone systems, the 128K audio streams, the iPhone apps, the credibility. When you ask somebody like David Icke, come on to my show on American Freedom Radio, and then you look at this website that's in the top, I think maybe 30,000 websites in the United States. I think maybe 176-ish thousand, in the world. It's far more likely that they'll just go, yeah, sure, sure. And sure enough, I've had, David Icke and G. Edward Griffin and all masses of people. If you Google, Vinnie Eastwood featured interviews, get like the massive page of people who've, come on the show. You know, I've had George Norrie on the show. 29 million listeners came on the show.
That's awesome.
I got him for like an hour and a half. And Foster Gamble, he came on the show for 2 hours. He freaking loved me straight off, bro. You know, and the other part about being a radio show host that's really cool is that suddenly you're an automatic colleague with other radio show hosts who you admire and think are really brilliant. Like, have you ever heard Red Ice Radio, Heinrich Kammgren?
Oh, yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me and Heinrich had not only a two-hour show together, but we did an hour and a half after the show, kind of part two, behind the scenes sort of thing. You know, Jordan Maxwell I had on for 2 hours. Tila Tequila, that was a very scary episode. there are like nine backup systems. Like, let's say for example, you have a look at the nexus of things that have to fall into line in order for a radio show to go through. It's about nine things. Like, my internet has to be good. My status has to be online. My camera has to be functioning. My microphone has to be functioning. The board op on the other end has to be able to hear me. I have to be able to hear him. Also, we have to have, no dropouts in the connection times and stuff like that. The recordings have got to be going, as well as the normal radio stream, as well as the caller line. So it's about between 9 and 10 elements that you've got together just to have a show with some normality to it. Every single one of those things, individually, one by one, and simultaneously, part by part, all failed. When I did the Tila Tequila show.
Really?
All right. This was like freaky, man. My ISP, Slingshot here, who incidentally also did my service providers, the whole network went down for frickin' 28 minutes right in the middle of the broadcast.
Really?
My Skype video kept clicking itself on and off. My Skype status kept clicking itself offline and cutting me off and throwing me off the internet. My recorder was malfunctioning. When I got Tila Tequila on the phone through the board op, her phone started malfunctioning, and then our phone started malfunctioning. It was like being in the middle of a maelstrom. And
Were you talking about anything specific, or was it just because of the name there?
Well, do you know who Tila Tequila is?
Not really.
Okay. Have you heard of Playboy?
Oh, yeah.
She is the very first Asian cover girl of Playboy.
Oh.
She's appeared in I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry as a cameo. She was number one on MySpace all by herself.
Wow.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And she starts coming out and talking about the Illuminati.
Oh, my word.
And all the satanic stuff that they're doing in Hollywood, and how they're censoring the truth out, and how they're brainwashing the kids with Disney. And she starts getting death threats. She was nearly run over by a black SUV a couple of days before coming on my show. Pete Santilli, who's another relatively prominent radio show host, you get him on the show, had his entire archives on his website deleted the day before Tila Tequila came on his show.
Really?
She has 78,000 subscribers on YouTube. I've got less than 5,000. This girl, unbelievable guts.
How long has she been speaking out?
not too long at all.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about somebody who's going from superstardom status. You Google Tila Tequila. Do this as an exercise. Google Tila Tequila and do an image search, and you will see row upon row, page upon page of hundreds and thousands of pictures of this girl. She is the glamour girl from frickin' Nam.
Wow. And
this is what happens when you're in a popular position with a captive audience and you start telling the truth. Suddenly.
Right.
Suddenly COINTELPRO gets called into action and you become a massive target. They start demonizing you, saying that you're a drug addict or blah, 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 blah. You know?
Hey, Vinny, I hate to interrupt you there, but we've had some couple of questions for you here in chat. One of them was how come they've never seen you in our chat room before?
Because I do like 4-6 hours radio a day, and I produce all my own work. I edit all my own audio archives. I record all my own audio archives. I record every single show on a webcam and put that up on YouTube with inserted photographs of the hosts or guests as I might have them. And I do that all by myself in the Diana Kroll sense of the word. And I also have to talk with many, many people all over the place. After the shows, for example, we have Skype chats with the listeners. So I'm just opening myself up. There's a huge amount of emails. I have to do all my own Facebooking, and it's a hell of a lot of work. And when you're doing work, anybody who wants to get really big in anything, you have to realize what's a priority and what you can and can't sacrifice. What I've had to sacrifice, unfortunately, in order to interview a different person every single day and produce up to 4 hours of content a day, is reading articles and listening to other people's radio shows. That's why you haven't seen me, because I've been too busy freaking working.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot of work, Vinny. I can sure understand it. That is a lot of work.
I've got a question for the listener. Why haven't you heard me on Revolution Radio before? Because I've been on Revolution Radio a number of times with other hosts. You know? See, it's the thing. If you're not there, you're not there. You don't ask people why they don't do stuff or whatever. You ask them what were they doing.
Oh, actually,
they were busy.
Yeah, actually, that was my mistake. I was just glancing over to chat, and actually, they were talking about somebody else. So that question actually wasn't about you. So I do apologize.
Okay,
that was my mistake.
You're so crazy.
Hey, but the answer was very, very good, though, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, you covered it well.
Darn good. Yeah. Now we know you're very busy.
Dude guy wants to know why you never brought him a pizza.
Delivery charges,
okay.
And that's one hell of a delivery charge, too, from New Zealand.
Well, you'd be surprised how freaking good our pizza is, right?
Yeah.
I say, like, yo, if you want to pay me a $9,000 delivery fee so I can get on a plane and bring you one of our famous malt freaking pizzas, I will do it, y'all.
We actually did a show not too long ago where a delivery driver, what was it? What was it that happened? The guy like tased him or something whenever he came to deliver the pizza and tried to grab the pizza box out of his hand.
Right.
He asked how much
it was twice. And on the second time, the delivery guy brought the flashlight up so he could see the amount. And the guy said he was going in the house to get money. He came out with a taser and tased the guy and took a pizza. Can you believe that? Tasering somebody for a pizza.
Now, that's what you call the spicy pepperoni.
Yeah.
The
very
sparky
spicy
pepperoni.
Yeah. True, a sparky. That's true.
That's the pizza that bites your back right there.
Be careful. That pizza's got barbs in it.
That's right.
Hey, that's what you call a barbecue pizza.
That's true.
Good point.
With crispy bacon. Extra crispy.
Well, we still got a little...
Fr- crack yourself up, Benny.
You sure do. We've still got a little bit of time here on the round table. If anybody would like to call in, again, the number is 347-688-2902, or you can Skype us at Freedom Screen, or tonight you can use my name, Harmonic Mint, to get through. And the round table is still open for another few minutes. If you'd like to call in and give your opinion about what you would do if you were king for a day.
I once made a gin and tonic with some harmonic mint.
did it knock you out or what?
It was very bubbly.
Yeah, that's actually the name of my recording studio, so that's why I went with that particular name for my Skype name.
Of course. These things do happen for a reason, and one of my favorite phrases is, oh, what a tangled web we weave.
It's really the name, you know, it's one of those deep underground secret behind the things, you know, this was actually my music studio. The listeners don't know that.
Yeah, it's just I'm not real creative, so, you know, I've already gone through the problem of, you know, trying to come up with one name, so.
Well, by the way.
Why change it? You know, why change up?
By the way, I have hyperactive creativity disorder, so if anybody wants an idea about anything, even if it's to name your child, you'll be surprised at. I'm not kidding. Seriously, come to me. I am an ideas man. You give me anything that you're trying to work on or whatever, and I'll just come out with boom, 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 boom. I can make up songs off the top of my head. Should I play you one?
Please do.
All right, give me a second to get the file up. This one's called Monsanto. And it's just this is just straight off the top of my head and with my friend Mikhail here. We'll put it down, the microphone down here, and the speakers, and there we go.
He's going to serenade us, sweetheart.
Oh, wonderful.
Old MacDonald once had a farm, but it got repossessed by Monsanto's corn. He drove down in his pickup truck to the head office and he pointed a gun at the CEO and he said, you're a dick. All your shit travels downwind. And the laws all seem to bend. You confiscated my property and it's not been done properly and I have everything to gripe about today. I said, Mr. Big Tie wearing suited individual, what makes you think you can't come onto my farm and confiscate my corn? I'll burn my crop down if I let your hands get on it. I'll come on your land and I perpetrated some chronic disability with your pesticides. The consequences on from which you cannot hide. Monsanto, Monsanto, they're coming on to my land. When the wind blows, I will shoot down their chemtrail planes with my little artillery, Monsanto, Monsanto, they come onto my farm when the wind blows. I chase them down in their corporate offices, and I will race them down for their offenses. Monsanto, Monsanto.
Wow.
Very
that
good.
Was great.
Encore. Good, encore. Benny.
That's only the first 2 minutes. It's actually like 8 minutes long.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah, that's me freestyling. That's no rehearsal, no writing. That's my mate playing the guitar and the words come into my head.
That is awesome.
That's
great. That's
awesome. Am I not freaking brilliant?
You are brilliant.
Oh, you're
Benny.
Phenomenal. You're just phenomenal.
Like, I've rhymed what was it? Complication and desertification with nation in one of the lines in that.
You know? Very impressive. Very impressive.
You should hear me rap, bro. My rap is so funny.
And lyrics are not easy to come up with. Yeah, lyrics are not easy to come up with if you want to actually make sense. And most songs today don't seem to make any sense unless you try to figure them out in some weird, twisted way.
Well, I don't know. As a man, most songs are about beer and vagina, so they all make sense.
What type of music are you listening to? Rap?
Dance music, uh-huh. Bob Dylan, country, rap, obviously.
A wide variety of stuff, yeah.
Digital music, classical, Sinatra, Edith Piaf. But basically for the last 100 years, there's been great music for its own era. And right. I'm a really young man, but I have a lot of elders who are my friends who've kind of fostered me and exposed me to different things, over the years. And it's created a composite sort of music persona that, yeah. Sort of comes out when I sing and come up with, songs and all that kind of stuff. And in fact, that's kind of like the first time I've ever even played any of my music on the radio. So.
Well, you had a great opportunity there to debut it right here on Revolution Radio. That's awesome. Hey, do you ever listen to any Frank Zappa?
Hold on a second. Was he the guy that teased the person for his pizza?
No, actually he wasn't. I don't think they had tasers back then. I was just curious. You might YouTube him. He's got some really interesting songs. It's very complex music, and if you're into comedy, which obviously you are, you'll really, really enjoy this man because, he's passed over now, but you'll enjoy his work. He was very, very politically, active, and before he went on his solo career, he was involved in a group called Mothers of Invention, and, that was an excellent, excellent band, and then everything beyond that just got better. He was also a composer, he did, orchestral work, he did rock music, he had all kinds of, just about every style of music, and the most talented musicians available at the time, worked for him. Terry Bozzio, et cetera.
Didn't one of his songs have to do with Jesus in the bedroom or something?
Well, that was actually Steve Vai, which was his guitar player. Yeah. I won't. I don't want to offend anybody, so I won't repeat any of the lyrics or anything. But
that was funny as heck. Yeah. Yeah. You've got to look up a Frank Zappa, Vinny. You will like him.
I already have. So he's the dude with the long hair and the mustache and the little right. tickler underneath his chin. Yeah,
absolutely.
He really was brilliant. People didn't understand how brilliant he was
and how he auditioned his drummers.
Have you noticed that the most brilliant people die, and it's only once they're gone that people realize what they had and lost?
That's true.
You know,
that is true.
He had one heck of a following, though. He was huge on keeping his own publishing. He would not allow anybody to take the publishing from him, and that's why he, you know, amassed so much wealth, is because he didn't share any of it with somebody that wanted to turn him into their slave. And one of the interesting things about Frank Zappa is he had a method that he used to audition his drummers. I played the drums. That was my primary instrument, and so I kind of caught on to this. But he had a piece of music called The Black Page that he composed. Yeah, he composed it to audition his drummers, and they called it The Black Page. There's only been like 3 or 4 guys that have actually been able to play through it the first time whenever they went to audition, and those were the 3 or 4 drummers that actually played with him during his stint on the road or in the studio. But they called it The Black Page because there were so many notes that it actually, the page was black. So but that's the end of our show tonight. And we do thank you for coming on, Vinny, with us. Also, Justin Time, thank you for joining us.
That was great. Happy to have you, Vinny.
Absolutely. Come back and visit us later.
I most definitely will, guys. Thank you so much. You've been gracious and fabulous and various other nice adjectives as well.
Same to you, Vinny.
Thank you.
Good luck with your career.
Oh, yeah. I don't need luck. I just need to work my ass off and collaborate with as many cool cats as possible so that, hey, everybody else becomes my luck. And I'm simply the wonderful center of my own little universe.
All right,
the light and the love and the joy.
Good for you. Goodbye, everybody. Have a great evening.